Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Man, Jordan, I don't even know where to start.
Oh, my God. You know what? I would say start at the beginning, but fuck it. We're innovators. Start at near the end.
Right.
Then do the middle.
Uh-huh.
Then do the end.
Right.
Then do the beginning.
So start it near the end.
Yeah.
Like three quarters of the way through?
Sounds good.
Are you talking about at the climax or are you counting the
deus
the
ex machina?
Are you counting the denouement
when the
as
clouds
the end,
part
or is the climax?
And angels help you solve your problem.
Pre-climax or at the peak of the climax?
Yeah, height of the climax, right when you're about to blast.
I saw some people fucking.
Okay. Speaking of climax.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's near the end. Now say the beginning.
I was walking my dogs.
Okay. Now say the end.
I passed by.
And now say the middle.
I saw a car that was a rockin'.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, should I go knocking?
Yeah. Well, I've got a bumper sticker that says otherwise.
Yeah, man. For reals. Earlier
okay,
today.
Okay, so you're walking your D.
I'm walking my double Ds.
Okay.
Coco and Sissy.
Sure.
And of course, Ds.
Your D's nuts.
Yeah.
For the folks listening at home, Jesse pointed to Doe's nuts.
Yeah. Doe's nuts, though.
Mm-hmm.
Should we bring that in?
Doe's nuts, though.
Should that be a meme that millennials like?
Oh, man. I mean, I think last week we had a big millennial meme hit with jet fuel can't melt steel tweens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think why not? Let's keep this meme train a-chuggin'.
Doe's nuts, though.
Along the road to Danksville.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doe's nuts, though. What should that be? What sort of image should that be on top of? Last week,
cool
I think
Keith,
we...
Cool Keith, I guess, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it has to be...
What about Cool Keith in, Dr. Octogynecologist outfit, but with Crying Jordan's face?
Crying Jordan is pretty good. I mean, last week we did it on Harambe.
Uh-huh.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P.
The ape who was taken too soon.
Right.
The noble ape, justice for Harambe.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you need an unrelated internet thing.
Mm.
If we want to keep
What about that picture of Kermit the Frog playing the banjo?
Yeah, that's good. Those nuts, though. I like it.
That's fun.
I like it.
So I'm walking my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me, the double Ds and Ds.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's
From where I'm sitting, does, but...
There's this bend in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a dirt area, and usually the main shit that's going down there is pot smoking or television discarding.
Okay.
It's like the two main activities
you dump an old tube TV.
One weird thing about Los Angeles mm-hmm. that I still have yet to figure out is the city of Los Angeles will pick up your oversized garbage for free,
mm-hmm.
but people still dump it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Like as though they're going to get a ticket for it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just call a number and somebody comes and picks up whatever it is.
Yeah, some dude.
Yeah, my neighborhood just strewn with beds.
I think maybe they, you know, the people who are doing the dumping don't want the city all up in their shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're a side of the street dumper.
Because they're into illegal street racing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a Fast and Furious situation.
I got it.
So you're in some sort of dirt zone, some sort of tube television graveyard.
And there's like a 94 Nissan Sentra there,
mm-hmm.
and it is full on going,
okay.
Like a cartoon bed that a prospector is having sex on.
Wait, what cartoon is that from?
old fuck prospector.
Yeah?
You know, that's a pre-code cartoon.
Oh, was this a Warner Brothers thing? Was this a...
No, this was...
Was he
a
part of the Woody Woodpecker family of characters?
No, he used to fuck Crazy Cat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and there was a brief period where he was boning down with Little Nemo.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's when it was Little Nemo in No Slumberland.
Because he's too busy fucking.
Too busy fucking.
Man, can't sleep because he's too busy fucking a prospector.
Yeah, this car was full on... Like I said, it was like a 92 Sentra.
Mm-hmm.
Full on going, and I couldn't believe, like, as I'm walking down the hill towards mm-hmm. this hairpin turn where the sort of turnout is, and the whole time
Are you
time,
sure
I'm
it's
like,
not just like a lowrider that is doing that lowrider thing, you know?
You know, it probably is. It's probably somebody hitting switches in that 92 Sentra.
Yeah, right? I mean, typically it's not a 92 Sentra that, you know, is made into a lowrider. It's like a Cadillac or it's an El Camino or something like that.
Now that I think about it, it is unusual that that 92 Sentra had that apple green flake paint and those pinstripes and that airbrush picture of an Aztec warrior on the hood.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you were, you know, your dirty mind automatically went to fucking, but it could be that this
somebody
just
was like warming up for one of those lowrider hopping competitions.
Sure. He's about to haul ass out to Alameda.
Yep.
And impress everybody with his cool Sentra.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there were two people fucking in there.
Oh, okay.
So that also could have been.
So what part of the fucking did you see a butt go up in the air? Did you see some flapping J's?
I saw nothing. I saw no nudity.
How do you know it was fucking?
Well, the fucking is associated with a distinctive motion.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a an In-N-Out type situation.
Okay.
Have you ever been to In-N-Out Burger?
I have.
Sort of like that.
Oh, yeah. I always do it animal style.
Yeah.
Hey, secret menu.
Yeah, so it was in the passenger seat. There was a dude seated in the passenger seat. It was back, but not all the way back. I'm going to say it was at not even
They're doing it in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
So he's laying back.
Yeah, he's just laying back. And she's going to town on him.
But she's wearing a shirt.
No nudity. I mean, I presume that they were nude where it counted, but that was underneath some
other
stuff.
You don't think it was just a vigorous dry hump?
No.
These are two Christian teens who are doing everything the Lord permits.
I didn't want to go, like, check it out, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I just wanted to get past it, and I wasn't sure.
Because
like,
your dogs are sensitive?
Yeah. Well, my dogs have their junk is cut off, so.
And they're very religious.
I don't want to taunt them.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
But this was at 8:30 in the morning.
Wow.
On a Friday.
Okay.
Maybe 9 in the morning on a Friday.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That shows dedication to car fucking. Okay, So I had an inexplicable thing happen to me right before I got here.
You were in a 92 Nissan Sentra.
Going to town on my lady.
Yeah.
Two dogs start a barking.
Yeah.
I blast harder than I've ever blasted before. Do you want to bring in our guest and then we can maybe he can help us parse out all this rigmarole?
Yeah. Our guest on this week's Jordan Jesse Go, an old friend of the program. And I'm talking about this man is like a full on Rip Van Winkle.
Mm-hmm.
He's over 7,000 years old or whatever. No. We've been friends since college.
Sure. He was coming on this show when it was a play.
Yeah.
A play!
He's never trod the boards, but he was a member of our improv group in college. Huge Robot Cock, a.k.a. Humor Force 5. Probably one of the worst decisions I ever made. He didn't get back on the team.
You really didn't want me in that second year.
I felt really bad about that for years afterwards. I still feel bad about that. He's now a writer for TechCrunch, but more importantly, the host of the podcast, R-I-Y-L. Read if you like.
Sure.
Brian Heater.
Hi. It's a terrible name because I have to explain it to everybody.
I thought the nerds all know what that is.
No, well, radio station nerds do, but not the other kinds of nerds. There are many kinds. Jordan, how many kinds of nerds are there?
I mean, there are over 3,000 types of nerds in this section of California alone.
Someone just sent me and Jordan on Twitter a meme of a super dank Sonic the Hedgehog. So there are a lot of types of nerd.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of them this week at E3.
Oh yeah, you're out here writing about it for the TechCrunch.
Yeah, there's a lot of the thing about not wearing the band's T-shirt to the concert.
Sure,
a lot of people wearing Legend of Zelda T-shirts.
Don't be that guy.
Who did not work there. A lot of Sonic the Hedgehog shirts.
Listen, when they're
quick question though, how dope was Zelda's concert?
Zelda's concert?
Yeah, and who headlined? Zelda or Link?
I saw Ray Shrumman last night.
What's that?
You don't know Ray? You're a hip-hop guy.
Oh, Ray Sherman, the rap duo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Big Boy, Wiz Khalifa.
Ray Sherman.
Yeah. Is that it?
But no, they have a way of pronouncing it. Yeah. I don't remember what it is.
They're extremely dank.
They're very dank. Ray Shrimmer, says Christian. Yeah. Christian's a teen.
There's a Christian.
Are you a teen or a tween? Technically, he says
he's both. Both cool. Teen and tween in twain.
That's awesome. It's, he rejects your binary.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand what you mean, Brian, because this is a big year for Zelda. They're showcasing this fucking Zelda game that just won't seem to come out.
Yeah. It's coming out.
So at some point...
We played it.
Yeah. I think that you, in a year that is big on Zelda, you were a different Nintendo character. You were a Kirby.
Yeah, you go deep.
You were a Waluigi.
Yeah, you...
That's evil Luigi.
Milton's Secret Castle, maybe?
Sure, yeah.
Waluigi is evil Luigi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he friends with Wario?
Oh, yeah, they're friends.
Are they brothers? They might be brothers.
I bet they are brothers. Probably I don't brothers. Know the specific Mario verse lore.
They're like Bizarro Superman of Mario.
Christian is so emphatically shaking his head, no, they're not brothers. Christian is like, Jesus Christ!
Does he do a post show where he just
I am trying to work on my super dank Waluigi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Waluigi should be saying those nuts, though.
Oh, yeah.
The Kermit thing is good, but I think Waluigi...
That's kind of old news.
Yeah. That's classic internet. Waluigi is, you know, it's very now, very 2016. Trump, Deadpool, Waluigi. These
Got
are the
it.
Three figures who will stand for 2016.
Did you hear that Trump is very close to making a decision as to his running mate? It's either going to be Waluigi or Deadpool.
I mean, you got to split the ticket,
sure.
Right?
Right.
Chimichanga references bring in the Hispanic vote.
Sure, yeah. You want a self-aware running mate who's always looking at the camera.
Wait, can I ask you guys a serious question?
Yes. Mm.
Have either of you ever had sex in a car?
Yes.
Define sex. Define car. Define
have,
in.
Have you blasted in a car with another person?
Yeah. Full-on intercourse, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all were in high school at some point.
Sure.
I didn't have a car in high school. Mm.
I got a lot of my early hand jobs in a car.
Uh-huh.
Specifically a Toyota Previa.
Ooh, that's not just a car, my friend.
Yeah.
That's a miniature van.
Yeah, you can kind of prop up the back seats for camping or getting J-O'd.
Oh.
Did you have to throw out all the soccer equipment before you went to town?
Yeah, soccer, my sister's ballet stuff.
Did you give her orange slices after she was done?
Right, yeah. To be fair, you're talking about my sex partner, not my sister.
Yeah.
To clarify, but yes, orange slices, high C, high fives, straight to round table pizza.
You know, I think that
I treat my ladies right afterwards.
In my neighborhood,
we're going to a pizza party.
In my neighborhood right now, mm-hmm. I'm going to say 25% of the motor vehicles are Toyota Previas.
Yeah.
When did they even stop? They stopped making Toyota Previas like 15 years ago.
I think it is the archetypal mom car.
Right.
When I was growing up. And then it became the, like, car you get if you have a big family, if you're from some sort of country where Catholicism is a thing.
Right.
So.
Like Italy?
Yeah, like Italy.
Got it.
You have a big old Italian family cruising around in a Previa.
Got it.
Do either of you have a Prius or know anybody who has a Prius?
I am a Prius driver.
Do people ever get into your car thinking it's an Uber?
It's happened to me twice. Okay. It happened to me twice in 2 weeks. I will come to the stop sign and just feel a yank on the door. And then someone looking afraid.
Do you ever want to just drive him around?
I think I've told this on the podcast before, but the first time that happened, it was a really, really attractive woman.
Mm.
You know, dressed to go out, looking great. And I'm like, this is a 2016 meet cute. Like, this is the start of a...
Is this leading back into the story about how you had sex in a car?
No, this is unfortunately not it. No, it was just a situation where she looked shocked.
Yeah.
And then turned around and yelled at the people that she was leaving that this wasn't it.
This has definitely never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But one time, a dude who was high on crank definitely got into my car and asked me how far down this street I was going.
That's like the original Uber.
Yeah. Just dudes, just fucking wiry, scary motherfuckers just getting in your car.
How far down the road were you going? I assume very far after that happened.
I took him as far as Geneva and Mission.
But I think that what I could have done was, I mean, A, I could just drive around with the doors unlocked. So the next time this happens, somebody can jump in.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I can see that being a fun little plot where we get to know each other, playful misunderstanding, and then, you know, we're talking about story structure a lot on the show today. Yeah. When mm-hmm. that, you know, third act comes, mm-hmm. I have to tearfully reveal to her that I have not been an Uber driver this whole time.
Oh, snap.
I've been faking it to get to know her.
That's a betrayal.
Yeah.
Mm. You've been lying. The whole relationship is built on a lie.
But it was for
You're
love.
A Lyft
but
driver.
It was for love. Yes, I'm actually a
I've
Lyft
been
driver.
Living a lie, and you I've... pull the mustache out of it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm with Sidecar.
I'm really sorry that I betrayed you, but it was for love. Anyway, what were we talking about? You saw people fucking in the car.
So yeah. I saw people fucking in a car, mm-hmm. and I asked you, have you guys ever had sex in a car as adults?
Yes. I had that Scion for a while.
Uh-huh.
You can kind of prop up the seats in the Scion. So, yeah.
Wait,
I've been
seats,
in that Scion. She definitely got like old Starbucks cups in her back.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, which seats did you put the back seats down flat so it was a flat area in the back?
Oh, I've got the kind that you can clip them up with a little clippy.
These are okay questions, but I think the real question is because you have a home with a bed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So why did you have sex in a car?
You got to mix it up, buddy.
That's fair. Your love life was getting stale.
You don't want You don't want to bring prostitutes to your
That's
house,
right?
Right.
After you 20 years of marriage, you want
to
mix.
You want to give
bit.
It to them in the Scion.
Yeah.
But no, I've not had sex in the Prius. I have the Prius C.
Mm-hmm. That's a compact,
which makes it a little bit. Prius C is a little bit hard to give somebody the D.
You can't get the privacy in the Prius C.
Right. Prius is a little bit tiny.
If you want to get some V, you're going to need to get one of those Prius Vs.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Am I right?
Uh-huh.
These for Volva.
And on my birthday, I get
the V6 for your 7-way.
And on my birthday, I get the Prius A. I'm open to sex in the Prius.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
is this an open call to listeners?
Yeah, if you're out there and have ever wanted to.
All you have to do is open that door.
If you're out there and you're tiny and or flexible. I know it's not the most, it's not the most sexually arousing car.
It's green, though.
Mine's bright blue.
Well, it's good for the environment.
Yeah. Oh, it's green. You meant it's green. Yeah. Anyway, so that's.
I didn't presume to know the color of your car.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's it. So I have had some car sex, had to have some car sex as an adult. It's been a real hoot.
Did the car go,
a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Needs to be lubricated.
It's gotta, you gotta.
Your penis.
Yeah.
I was at E3.
Mm-hmm. That's the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
That's correct. We looked at the Sonys and the Nintendos and the Microsofts and then like when you get to the final day, which is today, toward the end,
you're just looking at Zenith.
You're kind of running. You're running on fumes, and you start to look at the really weird stuff. And I tried out VR porn. That was the last thing.
Oh,
I saw before
Brian. I'm excited to hear about this. Now this is not like on the floor next to the.
Yeah, it is.
Oh wow! This is out there.
You would pass through the same halls like four or five times, and every time I walked past this one row, there were like, I would say conservatively 70 guys standing there lined up,
mm-hmm.
waiting to try
wow.
on the VR porn headsets.
Real winners, though.
It
I
was.
Bet.
Yeah, it
was. Was this the kind of virtual reality where you have like handsets and you can do moves? Or was just this the kind where you can just look around?
Yeah, it was a look aroundy kind.
Well, that's still pretty good.
It was pretty good. Well,
honestly, I like that. So I went to South by Southwest Interactive a couple of years ago.
Sure. I think I saw you there.
Yeah, we did.
Ran into you.
And played a video game that involved a VR headset, the Oculus Prime.
Yep.
And
turns into a truck.
And I thought it was a pretty shitty experience, frankly. Mm. But then Lance Bangs was here not long ago, and he's been making
from Cream Magazine.
Yeah, so he's been making VR films, and I watched a VR show of the band The Internet. You ever heard this band? Great band. Mm-hmm. Sid the Kid performing in virtual reality, and for some reason that was way, way cooler to me, where I could only look around and watch this band play than the experience of playing a game inside the headset.
Do you play video games?
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that might be the disconnect. If you don't enjoy video games that much, then you might not enjoy them.
If they put Skyrim inside this shit, oh my God. I would never stop collecting lavender. All I would ever do in my entire life is collect
that's
lavender.
That's exactly – I mean, you've tried – have you tried the Oculus Rift?
I tried an Oculus Rift a couple of years ago. And, I'm sure I'm sure the stuff that they have at E3 this year is, you know, is better than that.
Technology actually stopped in 2014.
Oh, so good. Okay, good. So I'm caught up. And I like video games and did not like it. That is not something I have ever, like, you know, from the days of the Virtual Boy, I've never wanted to put on a thing to play a video game.
Do you feel like the Virtual Boy was the peak virtual reality?
Yeah, right, exactly. Speaking of evil
Wario Tennis.
Yeah, Wario Tennis.
Technically, Lawnmower Man is peak virtual reality.
I don't like buying an extra thing to play a video game. I think you sit on your couch and you play it on your TV
with a controller.
Said
the guy who had Robbie the Nintendo Robot.
I did have Rob the Video Robot. And I have had accessories before. I've had DK Bongos, which I enjoyed, which you hit to make Donkey Kong run and flip.
You were obsessed with DK Bongos.
DK Bongos were pretty cool.
You were completely obsessed with DK Bongos.
Do you have any Guitar Hero instruments?
I have played Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Fun while it lasts. Mm-hmm. But I think these things have a novelty cutoff point.
I would argue that a virtual reality headset perhaps has more usage than a pair of interactive bongos.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. What does DK do in virtual reality world? Tell me a little bit about
how
DK
can I be a part of the DK crew?
You could be the one throwing the barrels down on the plumber.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you were just looking around inside the pornography film?
No. I'm trying to – what's the age rating on this program?
Adult.
Okay.
Adults. Adults only.
So it's –
well, and also teen plus tweens.
Yeah. I say 34 and up.
Yeah. Roughly.
So the mean age of this room.
Brian, you can describe okay. The VR fucking in as graphic a detail as you wish.
So it's POV, which is point of view.
Mm-hmm. Brian, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
POV, PNV?
Have you ever heard of the band Steely Dan?
Jesse.
Okay.
POV, PNV?
Yeah, awesome.
Okay. Continue.
Have you heard of the band Steely Dan?
They were named after a dildo.
That's about our demographic.
Okay. So. Bands named after dildos?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's POV, which is point of view.
So you are the sex man.
All right, I'm getting into position.
You're splaying out.
What's happening here. So I've got the helmet on, and what I'm seeing is think about a point of view video and think about what would be in the center of your eyesight all the time.
So this is just a penis shame video.
Yeah.
Essentially. This is a product that is designed to make you look at your penis, see a penis dramatically more impressive than yours.
You can look down and see a monster dong.
That's all you can look at.
Whoa.
That's all you can look at is it's about the penis and it's about what happens to the penis.
Wow. You're being delicate with this. Sure. I want you to not be delicate with it. Say exactly what, so you're looking around, you got a big dong.
Yeah, well.
Are you your own race?
I assume that you can. I think there are different videos.
Okay.
There are interesting. I was talking to the guy who worked there, and you know, he was saying, I don't know. This kind of sounds like bullshit to me, but he was saying, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm."
He was saying, "Yeah, I'm happy with my life."
Oh. He was a nice guy. He was saying that he's like, "Oh, I because you can go as a man or a woman."
Okay.
So you can fuck or be fucked.
Cool.
So he was saying that like. He's like, oh, I finally understand what it's like to be a woman and just have that disgusting thing.
Oh, wow. So he decided to try it the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's nice. You can get the other perspective.
Yeah, he just said.
Could all you be a little more empathetic.
We're having a casual conversation and he said, oh, yeah, I just got fucked in the ass for the first time.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So while you are – okay, so there's – so in your one that you did,
yeah.
There's a lady there.
Yeah, couple.
A couple of ladies. Many – two ladies?
There were a few demos. There was two, three. Oh, there was my favorite was the second one where a woman comes by, like, you know, a very bussy, but I guess she's supposed to be like a house cleaner. And she goes, oh, is this your first time using the dick and ball washing service? And then she proceeds to wash your dick and balls.
Oh, wait. Okay. I guess I also don't know this. Are these polygon women or are these
No,
filmed
this is all
women?
Real.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hence the lack of interactivity. But it's just watching porn, but you're in it and it's inside of you.
Wow.
It'll never leave you.
And there's not – I have seen videos of similar technology.
I noticed that
technology.
Jesse is really silent during this conversation.
I have seen videos of similar technology, usually from Japan,
yeah.
That have a attachment that you fuck. This didn't have that.
No, no. I mean, I
imagine that's not something you want to do.
That would be inconvenient on the floor of the Electronic Entertainment Expo, entertaining though it might be.
Right.
I did go to the AVN show a few years, which is the adult video. Have you been?
Yeah, when I was doing remotes for Fuel TV, we went to the AVN Expo 1 year.
Did you go to the award ceremony?
We did not. We just went to the convention floor and looked at all the new dildos.
Yeah.
Jizz receptacles.
Yep.
And pornography.
That's a
movies.
Mean thing to call women.
I was talking about fleshlights and the like, Brian. Yep. I respect women, including adult performers. I think they provide a valuable service, and they're wonderful entertainers.
Yeah.
So there.
I went to the award show, and I think that I've got a pretty strong stomach, but I got physically ill watching it. It was just really upsetting. But Fat Mike was sitting right in front of me.
Oh, cool.
That was cool.
Neat.
Celebrity sighting.
Sure. Yeah. What about Smelly? Was Smelly there?
No, just Fat Mike and his porn star girlfriend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Smelly's my new favorite member of NoFX.
Is he new?
No, he's... Okay. But I didn't like him until I read there.
You've been an El Jefe fan.
Oh, I mean, they're all great. Okay. Love them all.
Who's your favorite member of NoFX, Jesse?
I don't know. I guess Killer Mike.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
LP.
So what about the adult awards made you queasy?
They had I was good for about 20 minutes, and then they had what was it called? This was a few years ago. I can't remember what it was called. I think it was the Wheel of Dicks.
Yeah,
which was just guys sitting under a wheel and the. I don't know the physics of it, but I had to go.
Was this like a Wheel of Fortune to where a dick was the pointer?
Yeah. Well, no, the dick was, I guess, the prize.
Wait. So can you explain this sit and spin situation.
The wheel was parallel to the ground, and the dicks were flipping through.
What I'm imagining.
Wheel of Dicks.
No. Hold on.
What I'm imagining is a Wheel of Fortune wheel turned on its side.
Right, so it's parallel to the ground rather than perpendicular to the ground.
No, Wheel of Fortune is parallel to the ground.
Oh, that one. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So it's sitting up to where if you were in a theater audience, you could see all the prize notches.
Yeah.
And there's a man laying down with an erect penis.
Yeah.
And they spin the wheel, and the prize you get depends on where the boner points to. That's what I'm imagining.
That's pretty.
Is that it?
Close. I don't know how much of this I made up.
Did you take shrooms before you went to it?
It's like the murder hotel we were talking about earlier. It's just one of those things that just kind of haunts you.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, different strokes for different folks, Brian. This Wheel of Dicks sounds kind of amazing. If it's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think I'm out on this dick wheel.
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of Brian Heater upset here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you tried the VR porn.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, hard to be totally lost in the fantasy when you're in a convention center surrounded by guys with lanyards. But is it something that...
Unless that's your fantasy.
Sure, yeah. Well, then take off the headset.
Yeah.
And look around you. Drink it in.
Oh.
Drink it in. Is it something that you would use for pornography purposes? Did it make it – was it better than just flipping on the old laptop?
Let's say, Brian, that you bought the headset to play Skyrim.
Yeah.
But then it just so happened that there was adult films available inside the headset.
So you're staying in a hotel and –
Yeah, you jack into the net.
Maybe.
Let's say you're flipping through HBO Go. There's a late night tab.
Yeah. There's a weird anything that you play in virtual reality, you risk this sense of nausea.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the reason you get seasick or car sick is because the thing that your brain is processing and the thing your eyes are seeing are very different, mm-hmm. and it makes you sick. So when you're trying on a lot of VR headsets, that happens. There's already this level of nausea, and then that. Added on top of it.
Sure.
It's going to take some getting used to at the very least.
So from now on, you will associate having your dick and balls washed with a feeling of nausea.
That's right. I don't think I'll ever be able to get an erection again unless I
In the specific situation of when you're using the dick and balls washing service.
I actually had the thought. I was like, I was wondering if there is actually a dick and ball washing service. It's not technically against the law, is it?
I mean, if it's just for like a cleanliness thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I think it probably depends what state you're in.
Yeah, maybe if you got some foreskin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Different strokes for different folks.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the the idiom that we should be using. As they're announcing all this VR stuff, and they've been doing it for a long time in like the video game world, they're like, VR's next, it's going to happen. My kind of feeling about it has always been, no fucking way. This is another Tony Hawk board. This is another Dance Dance Revolution. It'll be kind of cool for a while, but then it'll just, go under the bed next to the fucking...
Wait, there was a board for Tony Hawk?
Yeah, there was a skateboard that you had for a while.
Oh.
Where you put it in your room, and you did little flips on it.
Oh, wow.
And the guy did flips. Kind of fun, but, gets a little old after a while.
It's certainly a lot more versatile.
Yeah, sure. Like somewhere in between, a Tony Hawk board and, something that you would use a lot.
Yeah,
an other end to this analogy.
I interviewed the co-founders of Oculus, and I made the mistake of making a 3D TV.
Oh,
reference.
Sure.
They shut that down immediately.
They're like, no. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but this year when I was just kind of poking around looking at all the videos from E3, I'm like, shit, some of this VR shit looks cool. Like, for the first time, I was like, I would be bummed to not play that. I would consider buying a thing if these games all look this cool. Anyway.
I had the experience. I was at CES in January, which is the big consumer electronics show, and I talked to some people afterwards, and they were like, "Yeah, we saw you, and we didn't want to talk to you because you were dead to the world." So I was like, the last day, I was completely brain dead. I walked up to the HTC booth and I put the headset on, and then like a blue whale swam by, and I was completely sold. I'm not even a gamer, and I'm seriously considering buying a headset and some kind of console.
I have a friend who likes to watch movies on his VR headset. In a thing where it's like you put the movie into it and then it's like you're sitting in a movie theater and the movie's on a 2D screen, but you can see like people around you or seats around you or whatever, or you could sit where you want and you look up at the screen.
That's strange.
Yeah, but kind of amazing though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally, yeah. Yes.
His name is the Lawnmower Man.
Oh!
Is he friends with Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah.
Dale Lawnmowerman.
I went to a HP event and they were showing off some of the virtual reality stuff.
Now this is that this is an event dedicated to that sauce they put on everything.
And they were showing like a bow and arrow video game, and a guy came up and asked if they could change it to an office simulator.
Okay.
That's what he wanted to try
out. The bow and arrow was too exciting.
I mean, I think that's like the whole like sitting in a movie theater thing. It's like if you're going to simulate something, maybe make it something that you couldn't like drive a block and do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could be sitting in a movie theater, in the forest world of Navi from Avatar.
Yeah.
See what their movie theaters are like.
They're probably boring, gives you a headache.
So I for the first time looking at all this VR stuff was like, kind of like, oh,
yeah,
maybe this is a thing. I mean, I'm already embarrassed at having video game shit around the house. Like, it's not, not the coolest thing to have laying around. But also, adding a headset onto that is a little bit more embarrassing.
Well, here's the beautiful thing.
Please.
Buy a headset. You never have to leave the house. No one ever has to come over.
Oh,
they'll
cool.
never know your secret shame.
Yes. Yeah. I can stop having people over.
Correct.
Brian, we should explain that Brian's column on TechCrunch is called Hiding Your Secret Shame.
Yeah.
It's also the name of my column on TechCrunch.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Carrie, close your eyes.
Okay.
In the future, when I utter the word canceled, everything which I have said to you while you are in a therapy session will have no force with you. Let's go to the earliest moment of pain or discomfort.
I don't think I want to do Scientology auditing.
I understand. The only way is through.
I don't really like Scientology, Ross.
That's too bad, because we have a show called Oh No, Ross and Carrie. If people are going to learn all about Scientology, I'm afraid you're going to have to go through the auditing process.
Is it going to be just like this?
Yep, for like 5 hours at a time.
Why did we start making a show?
We're masochists.
Oh, okay.
Canceled.
Love you, 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 love you
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
I'm Brian Heater, holding a tall Americano.
I don't think the audience really likes it when you're bragging.
I was painting a picture.
Ooh, dude, I got a tall. I can afford a tall. I got TechCrunch money.
It's a very visual medium.
I'm with TechCrunch. Can you upgrade my
grande
my
to a tall?
Could you give me a tall, please? It's evening. Could you give me a tall?
Do you guys want to hear about the inexplicable thing that happened to me?
Yeah.
Right before I got here. So I had a drove over from work.
Yeah.
Traffic was my friend. I had a little free time.
Mm-hmm.
Got myself a boba.
That's bubble tea. Nice. They still have those?
Boba's back.
Really?
Boba never went away?
I think Koreatown seems to be in the middle of a second or maybe third boba renaissance.
That's great. Boba's a ton of fun.
Boba's a ton of fun. Yeah. Got a nice jasmine tea.
Get a big straw.
Nice. Big old straw.
Yeah.
You go like...
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, got it.
I'm sure the people who hate it when we eat on mic love us imitating boba noises.
Do you think it's like an ASMR thing? There are people who just listen for the boba drinking sounds?
Well, yeah, maybe if they are out there, we'll just take
a little minute
to do a segment for them. If this is all the... I'm speaking to the boba fans out there.
Hi, this is Jordan Jesse Go, Boba Edition. I'm folding a towel.
Oof.
And I'm sucking... Bubba's.
Big ol' straw. Comb. 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 Huh?
Folding a towel.
Those nuts. Those nuts. Those nuts, though. Those nuts, though.
Okay, I think...
Okay, great. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You could just loop that.
Yeah,
one
just
of those
loop
10-hour
that.
YouTube.
I know you people like those long, so you can fall asleep to them. So just, just loop that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're having a boba,
having a little stroll around.
Yep.
You weren't driving and bobaing.
No, I'm not. I'm not a monster.
Yeah. Plus, there's checkpoints.
Yeah. You get pulled over.
Yeah.
They shine a little light in your eyes and see if they look like bobas, because that's what my eyes turn into when I see a delicious boba.
Mm-hmm.
Cha-ching.
Whenever I see a delicious boba, you know what I actually see? Like in my mind's eye? Like a big roast turkey.
Yeah.
With paper things on his legs.
So I'm having this boba and I'm walking around. There's like a little area where there's like a metro stop and it's kind of surrounded by like little shops and stuff.
Oh, sure. And it has a giant, it's got a giant mural of a finger on a bowl.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that mural.
Well, you'll see it next time.
I missed out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little kids running around having a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of ambling around enjoying this boba and I feel something hit me and it's a...
Is it a giant boba?
It's not a giant boba. Unfortunately, it was a handful of sand.
What?
This kid had thrown a handful of sand at a pigeon.
It wasn't a Tuscan Raider?
Missed and hit me. It was a small child. There's no sand in this place. This is a concrete area.
Do you think he crushed his own rocks?
I think he brought it from home. I think he brought sand from home or the playground to hurl at pigeons.
Yeah, sure. Well, you got to plan ahead. You can't expect that when you see the pigeons, there's going to be sand on hand in the environment. You got to be prepared.
Do you think it's like how you like keep a snowball in your freezer?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like that. Yeah. Like maybe he was at the beach. He stuffed his shorts. And it's like, the next time I see one of those fucking pigeons, I'm going to let fly.
You know what pigeons hate? Sand.
Yeah.
They're not like the seagull.
And I got in the way.
Did any of it get down your shirt?
No. It was, it was not a hearty douching.
You're going to be cleaning it out of your shoes for months.
No, though. No. I think I'm fine. I'm sand free at the moment.
My kid said a darndest thing recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Both my kids were sick yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sand flu?
Yeah, exactly. The sand was flying everywhere.
Sandworms.
Both my kids were sick, and my son, Simon, my older son, threw up, and it was just a total disaster. Like, he was crying and stuff. One thing about little kids is when they throw up, they haven't quite, like, figured out the connection between throw-up feelings and throwing up. Mm-hmm. And then when they throw up, they don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really upsetting to them because it's just from another world.
It doesn't stop being upsetting.
That's true. But, you know, I think at some point it could have a... almost satiating feeling.
Sure, you get
like
the poison out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what when I learned when I went to the Pompeii exhibit?
What's that?
When the volcano was exploding.
Vesuvius.
Yeah, that's the one. The Pompeii people had no word for volcano. Didn't know what was happening.
Holy shit.
They're just like, well, it's the end. The gods are angry. I don't know what to call this. Anyway.
Holy mackerel.
So.
Wow.
So your kids are chucking beans.
Yeah. So my son Simon threw up.
That's what I call chucking beans.
And then like an hour or two later, my son Oscar threw up. He's two and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was upset. Like he genuinely does not understand what it is to throw up. And like he was in tears. And it was just really brutal. And then maybe 4 or 5 minutes after he threw up, maybe even 3 or 4 minutes after he threw up, he collected himself completely, just a full turnaround, looked at me, and he said, "Oh, I throwed up like Simon. That's silly."
Aww. That's so nice.
Isn't that sweet?
It sounds like they're growing up into two fine young party animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Just two silly goofballs barfing all over town.
Did you make them high five? You should have.
Yeah, I missed the opportunity, you know.
It'll come again.
Well,
You got to, like, teach your kids to rage.
I know. And teach my kids to give each other dap.
Oh, what's that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's like your more complicated high fives and handshakes.
Oh, cool.
It's a dap.
Yeah, they got a dap. Are you going to teach them to dab?
Come on. Haven't you heard this Chance the Rapper song where 2 Chainz goes, "Aye, aye, Cap'n. I'm high, Captain. So high, Cap'n. Me and God dappin'."
That's good.
Yeah, it's really great. You can really rely on 2 Chainz to come up with a dumb, amazing thing to say in pretty much every verse.
I like the idea of being so high that you have some sort of experience with God. I think that's a good one.
I know! But can you imagine just that God is just doing a special high five with you or a special handshake?
That's pretty
cool. How else would you get into heaven?
Just giving you a pound?
Yeah. If you don't know, it's straight to hell. Yeah. The little door opens
like
up.
Like the Masons up there.
Yeah. Okay, so, Brian, you also mentioned that you alluded briefly to going to a murder hotel.
Yeah.
This was not for work.
No, okay. That was for pleasure.
Yeah.
I was in the downtown area, and for some reason I knew for a fact that the murder hotel was not far from the bar that we were at.
Okay.
It's what is it called now? I can't. But apparently two serial killers have stayed there. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Can't remember the name of the other guy.
Have stayed there just in general, just like while they were at a convention or going to Disneyland or whatever?
Yeah.
Not while they were murdering?
No. I think they might have taken a vacation.
Did they just do a survey of all the guest logs of hotels to find out which one had the most serial killer guests?
I think that when you murder a lot of people, maybe they go back and check the paper trail.
But I mean, like, historical? So you're saying they stayed there while they were murdering? Or do they just check all the hotels that you've stayed in over the course of your life?
I think that's right.
Okay, got it.
And then there was a couple of years back, there were guests that were drinking water out of the tap, and it tasted funny. And they found out and the pressure was low, and they found out it was because a woman had somehow managed to sneak into the water tank and died there.
Oh,
so
my.
Jordan and I were speculating that the taste was one of two things. It was either decomposition or her bowels had evacuated.
Gee whiz.
Probably a little bit of everything.
Yep.
Probably
a cocktail. Whiz.
So we went to the murder hotel, and we tried to, because there's famous footage of her being crazy in the elevator, and we wanted to go into the elevator, but they now have a security guard. I think they did an American Horror Story episode, so now there's a security guard who stands there and stops you.
Oh, stops looking
being
loose.
A tourist in the elevator.
Stops AHM heads.
That's right.
ASMR. ASMR heads. AHS fans.
We're going up in the elevator right now.
Oh, this is where the
this is
where water
is. This is terrifying, but also slightly campy.
Okay. Do you do this a lot? Do you go to famous, like, haunted murder
sites? No, I just knew I was by this murder hotel.
Okay.
I've been thinking a lot about the murder hotel.
Sure.
There's footage in there, and it's sort of like VR porn that once you watch it, it kind of stays with you.
Oh, okay.
And also, it's extremely erotic.
Okay.
So there's two things
in common. And also, while you watch it, you have an enormous giant
That's right.
So you did not really enjoy the VR porn. You didn't enjoy Wheel of Dicks.
Nope.
But this security cam footage.
Yeah.
That was the stuff. You know, I have never been. I've never been like a murder head.
This is such a good murder town, too.
Oh yeah, lots of fun.
You got your Black
yeah.
Dahlias. You got your Mansons.
Yeah, I kind of even wish I was a murder head yeah. because they really do seem to have fun with the you know visiting of the place of horrors.
There's, like the Star Tour, they have the Star Tour, but for places where people were
yeah,
murdered.
Yeah, yeah, right. I did the first time I ever really, really enjoyed a murder thing, like a true crime thing.
Were you murdering somebody?
when I was throttling
it's like
the
VR,
life out of a
you
drifter.
Have to experience it.
Yeah, exactly.
Firsthand.
Gotta get your hands dirty. Yeah. I listened to that. I forget how many parts is it, but the series that. Oh gosh,
Making of a Murderer.
No, what's that? It's the podcast. Karina Longworth hosts it. You must remember this. That's the name.
You must remember this.
Yeah. So I listened to their
Still a Kiss.
That's the one.
Yep.
I listened to their Manson expose just because it was you know recommended to me constantly.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, I don't really like this sort of thing, but I'll give it a shot. And
yeah.
It was just
man, Karina Longworth's a peach.
She is terrific. Still listen to the show. Big old recommendation. Great program. But yeah, I loved the Manson stuff. And I have, and they mentioned a couple of like restaurants that they went to on the Rampage. Mm. I have since been back to those restaurants just because I remembered them from the podcast as being part of the Rampage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Popeyes.
Popeyes. El Coyote.
Uh-huh.
On Melrose.
Oh, that's where my theater teacher likes to hold the alumni lunch.
Oh, okay.
Once a year in Los Angeles.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Denny's by the freeway.
One of these things definitely has real murder overtones to it.
Yeah. Well, they're both a little bit murdery.
Denny's by the freeway, though?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles?
I think that was just a convenience thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, pretty solid Denny's. It's got the new 50s theme.
There's a 50s theme.
You know,
Denny's?
I think they have retroactively, or I think they've retrofitted all the Denny's
yeah.
to be more retro now. I think instead of just being
a
generic dump,
down there.
Like it's now it's a slightly themed generic yeah. dump.
Now it's a generic dump from 1985.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
They just got some old shit that was left over when Johnny Rockets went out of business.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they cleaned up after Johnny Rockets, after the Rubies burned down. So yeah, that is the Denny's vibe these days.
So the 50s being 30 years before the 80s mm-hmm. and the 80s being the height probably of 50s nostalgia,
sure,
I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So 30 years ago.
So we're having they're having recursive nostalgia.
Yeah,
you're having nostalgia.
Yeah, but no eighties diners. As in Back to the Future 2? Wasn't that the 80s?
Oh yeah, right. They all go to the 80s diner.
What's going on in the 80s diner?
So
he
Ronald
plays.
Reaganhead.
Yeah, he plays some NES game.
He plays a Wild West game that ties into the third Back to the Future. It's a little bit of foreshadowing.
Gunfight.
Yeah,
and then he wins this game, and then the kids who are watching him are like, that's a baby toy. You got to play with your hands. Kind of. Implying that kids in that time played with their minds, I guess?
There's a lot of kids yelling at him for doing baby things.
Yeah.
Because she says that about the hoverboard as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's constantly being mocked by children in that movie.
In the future, people play video games with their dicks.
What?
Dick? Yeah, there you go.
So what was the so you did VR porn.
Yep.
You did VR video games.
Yep.
What was the most impressive non-headset thing that you did while you
God, it was
there?
All headset stuff.
Was it all headset
stuff?
It was
like 95% headset stuff.
Interesting. What was the most comfortable headset?
My wife and I have gotten really into headsets.
Role playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It plays mostly Skyrim.
The Oculus is comfortable.
Okay, so what are the big headsets? So there's Oculus. There's
you got the Rift. You got the Vive.
Samsung Vive. Gear.
Yeah, it's a lower end, but.
What about a cardboard box in the
you
mail?
You could put it in a cardboard box.
Google Cardboard.
Get that on the. You know, they have those on the back of Happy Meals now.
Really? Yeah. I got that thing. I got that. Yeah. That's what I watched that thing that Lance Bangs showed me
on. Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah.
You're living in the future like the rest of us.
You got it.
Yeah.
I know Max Headroom. Personal friend.
Do you think that the VR experience is better when it smells like fries?
Yeah, absolutely. I got mine at a Denny's, so it just smells like sadness.
and the 50s.
Yeah.
A 50s tinted sadness.
So racism.
Yeah.
Racism related sadness.
Did you try the PlayStation 1?
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Not heads and tails above the other ones.
No, I mean,
so I think if I were to get one, that would be the one I would want to get.
Yeah, I would say I'd say the Vive or the Oculus Rift.
Okay. Do they have one for Xbox 360?
Yeah, they're all going to be compatible. I mean, except
for
PlayStation.
Oh, great. Everything's going to be compatible with Xbox 360. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, sure. You could play Red Dead Redemption on it.
Yeah, you got it.
Sure.
Absolutely. I got that. I got bored of it pretty quick.
You have some thoughts on Red Dead Redemption, Brian. I've never played it.
I've never played it either. I don't know. Was that your game?
No, I did have that for a while, and I did get bored of it real fast. You got to go so far on your fucking horse to do anything.
But you're not – I mean, you're not a gamer, but you bought an Xbox?
No, I got an Xbox. I play video games sometimes. Okay. I don't have an Xbox One. I only got Xbox 360.
Do you feel like you can't play video games when your children are around?
I can't play video games since I've had children because I just don't have time to fucking play a video game. I barely have time to watch a sitcom. Come on, Brian. Shoot me.
You should get them. You should. You can kill two birds with one stone if you just get the Friends video game.
Yeah.
That's
true. Are you
Chandler's Revenge.
Kills his children? Was that what that was?
No, I'm just saying there's a Friends tie in Kill His Children. Where did you get that, Brian? Where did you get Kill His Children from? You should play the Friends video game.
Chandler's Revenge is this form of dysentery that I got one time when I ate lunch at a cafe in New York.
Sure.
Central Perk.
You got a bad case of diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. From what I hear from new parents, you have to discard frivolities one by one, and video games are always pretty early on the list of things to go.
When we only had one kid, that's when I had Skyrim, and I did obsess over Skyrim. Like, I got completely obsessed with Skyrim. But with two, it's like there's no time when you just leave. Like, I get one time a week to go do something myself. So that time is Sundays before noon. So Sundays before noon, I go
to the... So you wake up at 4 a.m.
I just don't go to sleep, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
I'm still partying from Saturday night.
Cool, man.
Up until about 11:30. Then I hit Denny's.
Cool, great.
I like the theme. And then I'm back home. I go to the flea market on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the only time that I'm doing anything that isn't work or childcare related.
Do you think that video games could potentially be a source of bonding with your children when they're a little bit older?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I got to figure out, because my son plays a little bit of computer games on the computer at his preschool.
Like a Number Munchers or
Leisure Suit Larry, right? It's got an old Amiga
in the land of the lounge lizard.
Yeah, condom cursor. Sure. Yeah,
he mostly plays. Yeah, he's got an Amiga. He's got an Amiga at work, so it's mostly Loom.
Oh, okay.
He's playing a lot of Loom, a lot of Secret of Monkey Island.
Yeah,
and my friend Jody's dad had an Amiga. But no, I think he's interested in it. I don't know if there's such a thing as a good video game for a 4-year-old to play, but I can see there being a good video game for a 7-year-old to play or something.
Are you conscious about limiting their screen time?
Yeah, we're okay about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're not like obsessed with it, but especially now that we got two, it makes it a little more complicated.
It just I see a lot of parents at Bublik, and they put a tablet in their children's hands.
Yeah, we try not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless things are really desperate, then there's a thing where you can draw little pictures on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let him draw pictures with his finger.
You guys hand him an encyclopedia, right?
Yeah.
Here's T.
Or a copy of Encyclopedia Brown.
Sure.
That helps his reasoning skills.
That's as good as an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You can learn anything from Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah, I wonder if when you were our age, video games weren't just in your face. You had to get them.
Yeah, had to go through some shit.
Now,
did you say when you were our age?
When we were kids.
Yeah.
Jesse, when you were a 34-year-old like Jordan.
You understood what I was saying.
A year ago?
When we were kids, you had to, get a video game.
Yeah,
you know?
And I didn't get video games in my house. I would play them at my friend Jody's house.
You didn't have
I didn't have one until I bought one for myself. With money that I had saved from Christmases, I bought a Genesis, and that was when I was maybe in seventh grade.
Did you have any friends with a Neo Geo?
No, Rich Kids. Yeah, that was the sign that the parents were doing all right when you got that $800 Neo Geo.
Yeah, that was pretty out of control. I did know one kid who had a Sega Master System and a Super NES and a TurboGrafx.
Multi-console household.
Yeah, and he eventually got a Genesis too.
But now all things have video games on them.
Yeah.
Like everything you buy, you can just put a video game on it.
Yeah.
So,
they
yeah.
They come with Happy Meals now.
Yeah, sure. You just get a copy of Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder if...
I got Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Oh, okay. Shit, man. You got to take that back. Yeah, so I don't know. I wonder what a young kid's relationship to video games will be like when he's 8 or 9. It won't be like a mind-blowing thing. It'll just be like, oh, here's another one of these, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I would like to... There's got to be like... You know how they got those artsy video games for grown-ups?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and stick them with those, you know?
That's how he's going to learn them some culture?
Not like the ones for grown-ups, but just like they got to have a kid version of that, right?
Yeah.
Just a boring video game? Like, I just wanted to play boring video games. The thing about children is... Their definition of what is boring is kind of set by what's around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, until my kid saw Paw Patrol, he didn't know that he shouldn't just watch Mr. Rogers. Like, we were just watching Mr. Rogers. Now, Mr. Rogers is pretty fucking boring. It's great. It's literally might be the greatest single television show ever. But it's kind of boring. Paw Patrol is not boring at all.
What is Paw Patrol?
It's about...
Do you know what Paw Patrol is?
Just from hearing Jesse talk about it. It's a rescue dog show.
Oh. Yeah, Canadian dogs that have powers and backpacks and vehicles. And so anyway, Paw Patrol is a pile of garbage. But it's more exciting than Mr. Rogers. And so now maybe Mr. Rogers to him seems boring. So I feel like I got to focus on giving him boring artsy video games. Like that one where you're in a fire station. Have you heard of
Firewatch?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You watch fire.
Yeah, it's supposed to be amazing.
It's kind of like the new Myst.
Yeah, you got it. So I want to give him that shit, but the equation should be that plus Reader Rabbit.
Okay.
What about like a Carmen Sandiego? Is that still going concerned?
I figure they got to still have Carmen Sandiego's out there, right?
There's
got to
be a new, yeah.
Somebody's got to stop the Liberty Bell from being stolen.
Maybe that's just because I'm an ace detective.
Yeah. Right.
So I've got a little skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to maintain that rank. Yeah. But, yeah, I think there's got to be...
You've caught a vile henchman or two.
You got it.
Oh, had a thought. It's gone. Anyways, something about Carmen Sandiego, I guess.
Oh. Was it something about how... Did you guys... One time, like, the highlight of my childhood was one time I was at... I don't know. I guess a baseball card convention?
Sure.
And the people from Interactive TV were there. Do you remember this? It was like a box you plugged into your TV with buttons on
it. It's not, because I know there was one from the 70s where they played video games and you yelled at them what to do.
Oh,
have you seen that before?
No,
It was like a local TV thing and they're playing it on screen and kids call in and like tell them like what buttons to press.
Oh, weird.
Which like is problematic because there's a delay.
Sure.
Yeah. This is like a 1992 situation.
So it would have been like on a CD-ROM.
Yeah, but you could play along to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Mm-hmm. I fucking kicked the ass of every person on that television. And then I was like, damn it, how the fuck do I get on there and win whatever it is that they get, which is probably like a $50 college scholarship.
But like if you do really well, they don't call your house to come on the game.
That would be amazing.
A brochure for Space Camp.
I know.
Consider Space Camp.
When you were a kid, didn't you just assume that like people were constantly scouting you for greatness?
No, but that sounds good. is that part of your paranoid schizophrenia?
Yeah. There were just a lot of weirdos following me, maybe.
You got that positive paranoid schizophrenia.
You know, you talk about boring games for kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how popular it still is with the kids. I think it probably is still very popular. Minecraft. That is boring.
That is huge.
Wandery, pastoral shit.
Yep.
That I do not want to play for more than 2 minutes.
You know what I think the appeal is?
Hmm.
The terrible graphics.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Yeah, when you were saying boring games for kids, I'm like, I don't know. What a kid. Is there a boring game for a kid? Yeah, there totally is.
Yeah.
It's Minecraft.
What do kids like about it?
I don't know.
You build things. It's kind of like Legos without having to touch blocks.
Yeah, I guess it's just the exact... It is. They just did the perfect job of simulating Legos, but then something you can do on an iPad when you're mom wants you to quiet down at a restaurant. Yeah. Anyway, I am constantly blown away by how nothing that game is, but how
didn't Microsoft buy that for like $500 million?
Yeah, crazy amount of money.
It's not quite LinkedIn money, but
no.
It is huge though. It's huge with the kids.
Yeah. So
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I know. I am constantly getting endorsements for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. For
what's that?
Long division.
What's that?
LinkedIn.
Yeah. LinkedIn. What do you mean about endorsement for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
That's a skill set.
Yeah, you get somebody says that you can do a thing on LinkedIn. That's
tying
one of the
shoes.
Things that happens on LinkedIn.
I have gotten.
Are we not connected on LinkedIn?
I have not made a LinkedIn profile. I will sometimes get an email that someone wants me to join their network. Yeah. Usually delete it. I don't really know what goes on LinkedIn.
I think I eventually created an email filter for anything with the word LinkedIn in it. But yeah, I think I must have created one because I used to get endorsements from my dad mostly.
I think LinkedIn is Minecraft for adults.
Is it really? Do you get to build things?
You get to build your skill set,
well,
your resume, your connections.
In LinkedIn, at night, the skeletons come.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hello. I am comedian and television writer Guy Branum, and every week on Pop Rocket, I host a fun freewheeling conversation about all the aspects of pop culture you love to love with my friends and co-panelists.
Digital strategist Winter Mitchell.
Journalist Margaret Wappler.
Academic and DJ Oliver Wang.
And you guys, this conversation is not just something we do privately. It's available to you through the information superhighway. So please, subscribe to Pop Rocket on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Brian Minecraft Heater? No,
that's a terrible nickname.
LinkedIn?
Brian Minecraft Heater.
I don't think we've ever shot down somebody's nickname. We try to be positive about those.
But that's garbage.
Boy, howdy.
You might as well have just said a good nickname from the past from someone else and just straight up stolen it.
Yeah.
If you were... If
Brian,
you were
John Hodgman Heater.
Brian there Explodo you go. Heater. Yeah, I don't know. We do what we can. Okay, Jordan, first of all, we just got back from Max FunCon.
We sure did.
You have a good time at Max FunCon?
Blast and a half.
Highlights?
Only lowlights.
You taught an improv class this year,
an improv class. That was a hoot. You and I did an Ask Us Anything
with
Travis McElroy.
That went really well, I thought.
Yeah, ton of fun. A lot of cool people.
We got that on tape. That'll be a donor bonus episode as soon as Brian's got the time to cut it.
Yeah, so keep a lookout for that. Yeah, it was a fun mix of people talking about podcasting and the art of and just kind of bullshit goofy questions. Tons of fun.
Yeah, I had I was really happy that actually Lance Bangs was at Max FunCon with his wife Corn Tucker of Slater Kinney, and they led a game of werewolf. You heard of this? I think it's like mafia or like something where you kill people by scratching them in the palm.
Yeah, this is a talky kind of party game you might play at like a theater camp or something.
The thing that I thought was really cool about it was they have a daughter who's maybe 8 or 10, and she was She was there in a full-on werewolf costume.
Hell yeah.
Just a full werewolf costume. I just wanted to be like... Just like Corin Tucker does in the band Slater Kinney.
I loved... it was nice to kind of do an official Max FunCon thing with Dan and Stu from the Flophouse.
Oh, that was great. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, Jordan filled in for Elliot in a live Flophouse riff. Which I thought was so cool. Elliot's working on the Mystery Science Theater 3000 show, so he could not travel. But Dan and Stu came out, and Jordan with them did a live riffing thing on a movie called Quiet Cool.
Quiet Cool, yeah. It was a late 80s one-man army movie about a guy who rides his motorcycle to some sort of logging town and kills everyone for some reason.
He loves trees.
He's got a teenage murder sidekick.
Yeah,
also
he and a teenage
of javelin throwing
kill everyone. So real fun time, and yeah, just kind of great to kind of do something with those guys, and was kind of part of the family. So yeah, it was great.
That was so fun, so funny. I was in the audience just losing it. That was a blast. Anyway, Max FunCon East is coming up Labor Day weekend on the East Coast. So if you're on the East Coast and you've always wanted to come to Max FunCon, or if you came to regular Max FunCon. Oh, and guess what else we did? Thanks to the kindness of the folks at Max FunCon, obviously the terrible, tragic news about Orlando broke on the Sunday morning, the last day of Max FunCon, just by passing a box around. We managed to raise $4,000 for the LGBT Center in Orlando, which is called the Center. If you want to get in on that, we would love to have you donate to them. We picked them, so they're a great organization doing a lot of service for LGBT folks in Orlando. And I was just like literally 200 people. We raised $4,000 just passing a box around with money from people's pockets. It was totally awesome.
Can I just say, apropos of not much, there's no gentle way to segue from a remembrance of all the people who died into a keynote about video games. There were a lot of awkward moments at E3 this week.
Yeah, I bet there were.
There was a lot of hooting during that moment of silence.
Max FunCon East is coming up. Speaking of awkward segues, in the Poconos Labor Day weekend, tickets are on sale now, maxfuncon.com. I don't think we're going to announce the full lineup, but we are going to commit to this. Jordan and I will be there. I think we're going to do a Jordan Jesse Go. I think we're looking towards – it's been a long time since we've done Jordan Jesse Go, one of these things.
Full live show.
I say we just do it, right?
Full on livey.
Yeah, just a full livey.
I mean, I bet we'll probably have a chance for a great guest or two.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be some real good guests there.
Okay.
Partner Nancharla.
For instance?
Phoebe Robinson.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
These are some people.
Let's call those possible guests.
Okay.
But also, every McElroy and Smurl is going to be there.
Hey.
There are over 7,000 members of the McElroy family going to be staying in this hotel. They're basically have turned it into one of those family reunions where everyone wears a promotional T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a real blast. So maxfuncon.com if you want to get tickets. Hey, Jordan, we also have something up on the Jumbotron this week.
Yes, it is for Lisette from Jack. To the love my life, probably love of my life.
No.
Maybe this is an inside joke between them.
Should the real question is, it's a really a style book question. We should ask our editor.
Sure.
Like, do we have to do the literal quotation or can we correct the grammar or add punctuation?
I will read it as is.
Okay.
To the love my life, happy 30th birthday. Thank you for being my best friend and partner and for loving Moses and I the most. Don't know what that means.
Moses is
a prophet.
He's a prophet.
Yeah.
He
Old Testament.
Well, he led the Jews to freedom.
I've only read the New.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I got to catch up.
Yeah.
You're a great mom, and you're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you, and I look forward to all our future adventures together. You're the love of my life. You know that I will never leave your side. Love, Jack.
Thank you for pronouncing the comma between I and will never leave your side, by the way.
Yeah, I was reading as is.
Now read it with a preposition.
And I, of will never, leave your the side, love, a Jack.
I think this would be even better. This is a really beautiful, heartfelt note. I feel like it would be better as a love song.
Oh, or an ASMR video?
To the love of my life, happy 30th birthday. I'm folding the towels. All I really know about ASMR videos, ASMR videos, is that sometimes they're folding towels and they're talking about that.
I think they're just talking about what they're doing in a quiet voice.
If you want your message shared on Jordan Jesse Go, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It is cheap and easy. If you want to sponsor Jordan Jesse Go, email Teresa at MaximumFun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Brian. I keep forgetting to do a nickname.
God damn it! Brian
did
here.
Did you have anything close to a nickname growing up? Did you?
Brian Special Brew here.
I mean, there are plays on my last name. My improv name was Brian Turnoff the Heater.
Oh, yeah. Did we have...
On the nose.
Did we have improv name?
Oh, no, that was a high school thing. That was a comedy sports thing.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sports with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. referee blows a whistle and
puts
a bag on your head if you swear.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jesse goes to it just after college in Washington, D.C., and literally can't make it through an entire show. Mm. It's so awful.
Yeah. Well, what was the stripping one?
Oh, wow. I was in that. Jordan, were you in that with me?
You're in the naked improv?
No. In Santa Cruz, there was a naked – not a naked. This was a gimmick. It was a stripping – short form improv group.
Who was in it with me? Scripties.
Yeah, I think I auditioned for it and did not get in.
Really?
So yeah.
You weren't big enough.
Not big enough. Yeah.
I got
just
in.
Like a bunch of Vine stars.
I never got so far as to do a show with them, but I was in multiple rehearsals with them.
Oh wow, yeah.
Were you nervous?
But someone else was in it with me. I thought it was you, Jordan.
No, I mean I think I auditioned for it but didn't get in.
Yeah, so. it was a stripping improv group.
That might be the most Santa Cruz thing of all time.
Some just real nice local Santa Cruz people.
Yeah,
totally.
Just some real nice folks that worked at Cafe Pergolesi.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just definitely like the height of like short form improv gimmickry.
Yeah.
But I think the deal was that they had, you know, they stripped as they performed the show, but they had on like a crazy amount of clothes.
Like Mormon underwear.
Yeah. I think they had on like parkas. They started the show in parkas and then things like that. So they weren't, I don't think they were ever actually, you know, they weren't actually nude to the point of tantalizing anyone.
I was also in a San Francisco sketch comedy group called Killing My Lobster, which I recently found out still exists.
Oh, yeah.
I was in that for.
They're an institution, right?
I'm going to say 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks, I got the boot.
I wonder if Scriptease is still around. If you're in the Santa Cruz area and you've attended a Scriptease show recently, congratulations.
Last I heard, our improv group that Brian and I were in the year that it started still exists at UC Santa Cruz.
You really fought for huge robotic cock.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I was 19. Huge robot cock was what it was going to be. We had a great logo.
Yeah, it was a big robotic chicken.
The name I think we should clarify, the name of the group was Humor Force 5.
Yeah. Not a great
name. And it's a college improv group.
It was
a
Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah. And the logo was the huge robot cock.
Yeah. That was the compromise so Jesse didn't get too angry.
Yeah. Oh, man, I was so angry at the time.
Good times, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I had a college improv group with a terrible name. I think it's done wonders in bonding me to every comedy person I meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're meeting a new comedy person, there's a lull in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You can just say, hey, what was the name of your bad college improv group?
Yeah, there you go. And we have got two.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think that is more of a uniting force than your past and I assume current interest in ska music? Nothing like when you meet a real old school ska head.
Oh, sure. What a hoot. Definitely like everybody has their like bad college improv group name, and it's nice. It's nice that you can kind of like share in the embarrassment of what a goofball you were.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of beautiful things,
sure.
When something momentous happens to you, we have you call us at 206-984-4FUN. That's 206-984-4FUN. You know, stop podcasting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, got an 800 number,
yeah,
toll-free mm-hmm. call-in number, an 844 number. I believe it's 844 Spy Pod 1.
So they're toll free. It costs $9 to call ours, right?
Yeah, we're not ours is a 900 number.
Oh, okay.
206 is, you call ours, it's just a recording of Jose Canseco wishing you the best.
It's probably actual live Jose Canseco.
Well, he alternates with Hammer.
Yeah, it's me. Come pick me up. Where are you?
My softball game is over.
Come pick me up, mommy. What do you think is happening?
Jose needs orange slices. Where's the Previa?
The idea that Jose Canseco has reverted to a childlike state and you could call him on a 900 number.
King loves his juice.
Yeah.
Thinks you're his mother?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's summer, Jordan.
Sure.
You know what time of year that is for Jordan Jesse Go listeners.
Oh, yeah.
That's summer boy time,
oh,
Brian.
Yeah.
Summer boy is not a gender. Although it could be a gender identity, especially if you go to like Oberlin.
Sure.
Like right now, if you go to if you're a student at Oberlin mm-hmm. right now, there's no doubt that your gender is summer boy.
Can I just announce a small change to the summer boy protocol this year?
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, you're the creator of summer boy. Mm-hmm. You're the original summer boy. Mm-hmm. It's well within your purview.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I don't want to change anything about this year, Brian. For you, you know, we ask that our listeners become summer boys every summer and. You know, just take some time to chill and grill, throw back some brews, kick up their feet.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy the season.
Yeah.
This year.
I'm going to go see James Taylor on the 4th of July, so.
Hell yeah. That is some summer boy shit.
Yep.
Where's he at? Hollywood Bowl?
I'm going to be in the Berkshires.
Oh.
You headed to the Berkshires?
I don't even know where that is.
Neither do I.
Okay. What state?
My way, don't know.
Oh, okay.
Massachusetts-ish.
Okay.
Surprise me.
Possibly Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but it's in the U.S. We know that.
Yeah, the northeastern United States. I don't know. My plan right now is just to get a good bead on James Taylor and follow him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, he is definitely a musical summer boy of sorts.
I'm told that there's going to be fried chicken at this James Taylor concert, so that sounds like pretty much the hot setup to me.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'd go to a John Tesh concert and eat fried chicken.
Yeah.
Honestly, are you flying? I'd go to a John Tesh concert anyway. That sounds fun.
You're flying across the country to see James Taylor and eat fried chicken?
No, I'm going to do – that's just one of the activities at this. I'm going to visit a friend as a summer home in the Berkshires. My family are going to go there to hang out at the summer home.
Is your friend James Taylor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, my friend is James Taylor.
I mean, this is a dumb –
I love the gentle way he rocks me.
This is a dumb question that I know the answer to. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
When you go see Tesh, he does round ball rock, right?
You bet he does.
He does round ball rock.
You got it, buddy.
Wait, that's Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
John Tesh song.
Also a John.
No, that's the movie theater.
Nope, Mario. What is the. I know. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna look up Round Ball Rock on YouTube because it's gonna drive me up a fucking wall.
Round Ball Rock is the theme from the NBA on NBC. It's something that, under ordinary circumstances, I would be able to sing at the drop of a hat, and I'm sure that there are many people in our audience who are singing the song.
I looked it up on YouTube and got the watched. Logo come up. So I have watched Round Ball Rock on YouTube.
Wait, is this the video? There's an amazing video of him at Red Rocks performing with an orchestra where he demonstrates, he plays the cassette tape, answering machine tape of himself.
Humming it.
Of himself.
I think that's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's
1, 2, 3 o'clock.
You think it's fake?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I've seen that. Listen, I like that he did it. So Tesh's story about Round Ball Rock is that he heard it in a dream and had to, like, he was on the road or something and then called his answering machine and hummed Round Ball Rock. And he plays what he says is the original answering machine tape. It's too jokey. It's too, like, there's, like, timing and there's little, like, pauses.
Comedy. So you're not object. You don't think the story is apocryphal.
I don't
The tape is.
I don't think that the one he plays live. The tape he plays live is
because
not
it
the
seems
tape.
Like a feasible story to me.
It's just too jokey. It's too perfectly timed.
You object to the tape, not to the story.
You think that John Tesh is that deceitful?
No, I mean I think he's a showman. And I think it's just part of it. You know,
he's not doing magic tricks.
No, but I'm saying
John Tesh is a truth teller.
I don't think he is.
He's the George Carlin of his generation.
I think he's creating a great show for his fans. Hold on, it's coming.
Okay.
I think
this isn't just him talking about it.
Here it comes.
Okay, here we go.
He's dribbling the ball around Red Rocks, the fake ball. Okay, I was right.
Entertainment Tonight.
You're about to see some entertainment news.
Michael Jordan, Steve Kerr, Dominique Wilkins. Yeah, got it.
Anyway,
Clyde Drexler.
So, what were we talking about? Summer boy shit.
Yeah,
small changes to summer boy protocol this year.
Okay, small change.
Little change.
It's a minor change. It's not a major change.
Literally one letter.
This is something that could be handled exclusively by the executive branch. Did not require legislation.
Absolutely not. But we would like old Joey Biden to weigh in.
Yeah.
We've got a tie in the Senate.
Yeah.
This year, Summer Boy will be spelled with an I.
Oh, okay.
Summer B-O-I to keep with current trends.
Oh, that's fun.
Not Summer Bay?
No, not Summer Bay. Summer Boy, as in fuck boy, dat boy, etc.
Got it. So, big boy, skater boy.
Big boy. All the boys. Yeah. All the boys out there. So just when you're, you know, printing up your Summer Boy letterhead or whatever, I just ask that you spell it B-O-I.
What about fans of Oi music?
Like
street
punks. Yes, 70s British working class skinheads.
Summer Boy Oi Oi.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Put some sunscreen on those skinheads.
Put some sunscreen on, fellas. Yeah.
I'm on board for this.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Summer
okay,
boy.
So we have a Summer Boy call. We're not saying, this summer is, we're not going to just spend our whole summer playing Summer Boy calls, but if you got a great Summer Boy moment, give us a call.
Call it
we'll
in.
Share it, you know?
Three-way on a dock.
Yeah, you got it.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go, and guests. This is Mary from Rockford, Illinois. I was just sitting outside on my back porch, and I looked to the left of me, and there was a shirtless man listening to heavy metal music with a baseball bat, swinging it at tree limbs. And I looked to the other side of me, and there is a shirtless teenage boy spraying himself in the penis with a high-powered water hose. So, if any Summer Boys, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Hose it down.
Was this a father and son team, do you think?
I think he'd leave with the fact that you lived next to Glenn Danzig, though.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. Now that the Misfits are reuniting, he's getting in shape.
Spraying down the old penis.
Spraying himself with the penis.
Jordan, didn't we see Glenn Danzig wandering around in his front yard one time? Like, before I even lived in Los Angeles, I came to visit you. We saw Glenn Danzig wandering around.
Boy, that is absolutely something that I have seen a lot. I mean, definitely, like, when I first moved here, there was a lot more Danzig activity. I haven't seen him in years, but that is a regular, like, Silver Lake celeb sighting.
If
is
you
shirtless
don't,
Danzig.
By the way, if you don't think that I had that CD in sixth grade, seventh grade,
Danzig solo,
Mother 93.
Yeah, there you go,
Mother.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Definitely like
did not like any of the other songs. I want to make that clear. Bought that CD, hated everything except for that one song. But and that song, you had to go to track 93.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Danzig.
Yeah.
Definitely like shirtless Danzig, and he like lived. I don't know if he still lives there, but he lived on a really like suburban-y looking.
Oh, he lives
street.
In that same dilapidated house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Have you been there recently?
No, but there's a lot. There's a lot of action in front of that house. A lot of people make pilgrimages to it. There are a lot of pictures online of him buying cat food.
Oh yeah.
You seen that? It's very popular.
No, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, he loves cats.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Good for him.
So, yeah, it was also always a nice contrast to see this kind of picket fencey, you know, suburban house with Danzig chilling out front of it.
Is he a famous racist?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Yeah,
you're thinking of David Duke.
I feel like there was rumors about that when I was a young teenager.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there have been a lot of shitty misfits post-dancing.
Shit.
A lot of shits fits.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, I don't, you know, maybe so I just don't want to believe that my hero Glenn Danzig is a racist.
Yeah.
But maybe it is possible that one of these pretenders who stepped in after he left the band did some racist stuff. But I don't know.
But he's back. That's
he's
the important thing.
He's back and racister than ever.
Okay, let's take a momentous occasion call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Jessica calling from Chicago with a momentous occasion. This weekend, I officiated my very first lesbian wedding between my two best friends. Everything went really well up until I got to the Harvard Convene by the state of Illinois. I now pronounce you. Then suddenly realized I had not had an exchange ring, so just sort of backed it up, took it a second time. Take two was excellent. Everybody seemed to and had fun. And also, I got a neat clergy badge because I got ordained on the internet, which I'm probably going to wear, I don't know, all the time. Anyway, love the show. Thanks, guys. Get them.
Glad to hear they came with a badge.
Yeah, that's nice.
When I got that, I didn't get a badge.
Yeah.
We all got ordained in college, right? The Universal Life Church?
Yeah, I got that shit.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Man, I missed
that. Was like the dawn of you just being able to print that shit out.
Yeah.
Oh,
before
yeah.
you had to write
send
in
a
an
dollar.
SASE.
Put it next to all the rows of empty beer bottles above your bed.
Yeah. Oh, those were the days. Yeah, I missed out on a lot of shit, apparently. I wasn't in the Naked Improv group. I didn't get to get ordained by the Life Church.
That was when
It's never too late, Jordan.
I officiated that one listener wedding for Guy and Mary Beth up in Seattle. And it was like a very beautiful wedding. And I had to get one of those badges. It was really nice. And Mary Beth's real classy doctor. Guy just works for Xbox. And so just at the end of the whole fucking classy-ass wedding, they just got Gears of War guns and did poses.
Have you done a wedding at Max FunCon?
No. I married a couple at boatparty.biz, but it was before we got on the boat. And they have since divorced.
I went to a Polyphonic Spree show where there was a wedding.
Oh. Yeah.
That seems like the place for it.
Yeah.
It
was just everybody's already in robes, right?
Yeah, just nine or ten people becoming becoming a love group or something.
A man marrying a trombone.
Yeah. A flower marrying the wind.
Let's take another call.
Hey, this is Brandy from Birmingham, and I was calling with a momentous occasion. I have an 8-year-old daughter who has been kind of obsessed with talking about how babies are made. And so I tend to do the, you know, just ask or answer exactly what she's asked and nothing more. And until the other night, it had been pretty innocent. And she finally asked the question, but how does the sperm get to the egg? So that night, I had actually had a little bit of wine, so I was feeling brave. So I asked her, I said, do you really want to know? She said yes. So I told her, not graphic detail, but I told her basically the mechanics of baby making. And when I was done, she had a disgusted look on her face, and she told me, I don't think I ever want a husband. So that was a win. Then afterwards, she looked at me and she said, Mommy, please don't drink anymore. So in the course of one conversation, I've managed to scare her off of sex and alcohol. So, good, I guess. All right, thanks. Bye.
I'm not 100% sure that this was a momentous occasion call and not a genius call for one bad mother.
Sure.
Probably. Or a fail call. It was sort of a combination genius-fail call.
I like a story where everybody learns a lesson, though. I feel like we all learned something from that story.
Yeah.
I still don't really know where babies come from. I would have loved to.
Apparently, it involves getting really drunk.
Yeah, well.
A lot of red wine.
I am halfway there.
They had a great
Toyota Prius.
They had a great Where Babies Come From author on One Bad Mother. Mm-hmm. We got this book. God damn it if I can remember what this thing is called. But it's really great. It's really amazing. Like, in 2016, there's totally like a book that teaches kids where babies come from that is both has like the pleasant tone you're looking for. And also,
the graphic sex.
No, like includes all different kinds of parents. Like, does not presume genders, or even that kids are like, you know, conceived the old-fashioned way, or anything. Like,
so you're getting traditional P and V conception.
Traditional P and V. Someone else carries the baby. The kids
adopted.
Cabbage patch.
Two moms, two dads. Gender neutral people. Whatever. And it's not like it like lists. All of the things. They just have found a way to elegantly describe where babies come from without excluding any of those groups. It's kind of amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really good. I wish I knew what the fucking thing was called, but go back and listen to One Bad Mother episode about it, and you can hear it there. But it's real nice. It's very comforting.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that the kids and I've also got this book called Chickens Aren't the Only Ones. This is about all the different animals that lay eggs.
Okay.
And just a great list of different animals that lay eggs.
It's so very inclusive. Two. It doesn't exclude the spiny anteater.
Or the platypus. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That platypus and that spiny anteater are all up in the Chickens Aren't the Only Ones.
That's great.
They're called oviparous.
Is that a parable about inclusion, or is it just informative?
No, it's just about what kind of animals lay eggs.
Okay.
It's more of a book-length listicle.
Oviparous animals.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a book-length listicle. It's 14 animals that lay eggs that you'll recognize if you're Pakistani.
that only Latina people. Nurses will recognize. There is literally a BuzzFeed listicle about like 10 something somethings that only Latina nurses will recognize. Yeah. Very particular.
This echidna is pregnant. You won't believe what happens next.
Let's take another call.
Good evening. I probably, I guess, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. I live on Guam, and I was driving around and saw a building, and on the front of the building, it just said the words Chode Building, C-H-O-D-E, for the record. And I laughed so hard, I almost crashed my car. And just so you know, growing up, for me, Chode meant, yeah, a dick that was wider than it is long, tuna can situation. So, yeah, get him.
Great chance to poll the guest. Brian, yeah. What is your personal definition of chode?
I think it's accurate.
Wider, girthier
than it is long, yeah.
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 In Guam, where this guy lives, it's sort of regional. So Brian and I are both from Northern California.
He lives on Guam. Mm-hmm.
That's probably why the two of us agree on our definition. You're from Southern California. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a different definition. In Guam, it's actually a food paste made from a local tuber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you spread some chode on toast.
Yeah, you got it.
Get yourself some chode toast.
Yeah, get a nice chode toast. Chode with your plate lunch.
Something that we've been talking a lot about on the show lately, Brian, is the, you know, multiple definitions of the word chode. Mm. You know, if it's, you know, and trying to kind of just parse this out, trying to piece together this puzzle that is chode. And, you know, a lot of different definitions. People are getting at us on Twitter with their personal definitions.
Yep.
I even heard that someone used it as, like, drug slang for, like a joint that's almost burned out.
Oh,
like
wow.
A roach.
That's a chode.
Yeah, they call it a chode. So
Christian's nodding appreciatively.
Yeah. Big old nod.
A dork is whale penis, right?
You know?
A geek bites the head off a chicken.
You know, I think just as... You know, in the same spirit of, you know, there being a lot of ways to have a baby.
Yeah.
Of there being a lot of different kinds of animals that lay eggs, not just chickens. Mm-hmm.
A lot of words for snow if you're
an Eskimo.
An Eskimo.
Nah.
But no words for love?
I think we can just allow.
I think they're capable of love. And they prefer to be called Inuits.
Sure. No words for volcano.
Got it.
There you go. No words for volcano.
You got it.
Too cold. yeah, I mean, I think we can just let all these chode definitions, you know, exist, you know, happily alongside each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of fun.
That's really beautiful, Jordan.
Thank you.
I think the
wonderful man.
The list of chode definitions is wider than it is long.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it is a very wide list.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Brian, plug two heater.
There you go.
No? De La Soul?
Yeah, from De La Soul.
Yeah.
I'm Jesse Trugoy Thorne. It's just yogurt spelled backwards. That's how they came up with rap names in the early 1990s, late 1980s.
Wait, Ray Shrumman is something spelled backwards. Yeah, drummers. What is drummers. Eardrummers.
Eardrummers. That's dumb.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. It's actually even dumber backwards. Great band, though.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's deal with a couple of things here.
Sure.
First of all, Max Fun has a new podcast. It's called Minority Corner. We actually all went to college with one of the hosts, Enike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like Throwing Shade for folks who have heard Throwing Shade in format, sort of a trip through the news and then a little deep dive on something from the past. And it's real fun, real funny. A lot of really compelling Disney impressions on the most recent episode.
Okay.
Terrifyingly, if you ever wanted to hear like the bad guy, the evil lion from
Scar,
Lion King. Yeah, if you ever want to hear him say something inappropriate, well, that's the show for you.
Okay. Or just watch any other movie Jeremy Irons was in.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's Die Hard 3. It's such a cool, it's like the show is just a blast. Like it is a really fun And like actually very fascinating. Like you can – it's something that will add to your life and your understanding of the world. So I just wanted to mention it here because we're real proud of it. Minority Corner, great show. I think Jordan might have been NK's RA or something. I can't remember.
I probably did a great job.
Yeah.
you kept the condoms stocked outside the door?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. There was this one guy who used to come to my door for condoms so much. Oh, my God. And he was so goofy. Like, this guy was so goofy.
Goofballs be fucking, man.
This dude was fucking all over town.
But he was safe.
The appeal of the confident goofball is an amazing thing.
Would anybody come by and be like, got any magnums?
That guy.
Oh, he had a huge dick.
Yeah.
You forgot that part of the story.
Goofy,
he was a giant dick goober. He was also fit, but in a weird way, like in the way that like a lizard man is.
Yeah.
What is chode backwards? Because that's what he was. Longer
Dauk,
than he was wide.
E-doc.
E-doc. Depends on how you spell chode. That's another point of contention.
Oh, sure. It's O-D-E or O-A-D.
That's another big issue.
Yeah. So it's complicated.
Hey, Brian, who's been on the read, if you like, R-I-Y-L podcast?
I have a list of upcoming guests. Can I plug this?
Yes. What do you think I'm setting you up for here, Brian?
Yeah. So I just slept on the couch of one of your Max Fun hosts.
That's Carrie Poppy.
Carrie Poppy. She'll be on one.
It's a delight. Jordan and I have both been on at some point. I mean, years ago.
Yeah. Sure.
Starley Kine.
Hey.
Have you heard her podcast? It's fantastic.
No.
It's really terrific.
Is this the mystery show?
Mystery show. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like mystery show a lot.
Mary Roach.
Oh,
hey, that's a good
one. I'm seeing Mary Roach tomorrow. Couldn't be more excited about it.
The Thermals.
Hey, all right.
And then a bunch of comics people. We just had Gabrielle Bell, who's terrific.
There you go.
Week.
G Bell.
RIYLcast.tumblr.com.
Yeah. It's a great show. Brian really is a wonderful, warm and pleasant interviewer and a lot of great people on the show. I really do recommend that program. Not as much as I recommend Minority Corner, I'm going to be clear.
Sure.
Like I would say, if you're making a priority list, number one, Minority Corner. Number two has got to be Serial.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this show.
Yeah.
But if you want to hear a white guy talk to people,
yeah,
it's definitely my show.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So first, number one is going to be To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's going to be like the entire Earwolf network and then me, right?
Yeah.
Listen, if you get done with 80 or 90 other podcasts,
yeah,
give Brian's a shot.
Have you checked out Feral Audio at all?
Oh, a lot of good stuff on
all
there.
All Things Comedy's got a lot of
stuff
fun
on
stuff
there.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, let's say your iPod's broken in a real specific way. Mm-hmm. It can only get the RIYL podcast.
Then
I couldn't recommend it enough.
You're going to want to listen to it.
You're going to want to try music first. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have any music on your iPod or you're morally opposed to using iTunes and you're having a hard time sideloading music.
If Rapsody isn't working.
Yeah. If Rapsody's busted. If you can't watch Rapsody on BET.
Sure.
If Big Tig's not there coming through for you. Yeah, this is a good time to listen to RIYL. I mean, end of the day, let's be honest, you're watching Property Brothers.
You gotta watch Property Brothers.
You gotta watch them bros!
Good, watch them bros, get them props! Get them props, bros! Woo! Still unclear as to what that show is.
Don't know, never seen it!
You're gonna plug my podcast when they come on here, right?
We are, yeah.
You have a podcast?
Do you flip houses? Do they flip houses?
Oh, man. Have you seen...
What are they?
Have you seen Ozzie Smith's new show where he does flips in houses?
Sounds pretty good.
Okay. Here we go. That's it. Jordan, Jesse, go. That's our show. Christian Duenas on the board. Brian Sunny D. Fernandez in London, England. Cutting things together. Watch our social media because we got a Garabba shirt on the way. It's going to knock your socks off. It's going to be one of these limited edition deals. Do you know about Garabba? It's what you do in an emergency. First, get help. G, get help. A, what's A?
Assess the situation.
R, read up on it. A, what's A?
Wait, you're reading during an emergency?
Yes.
So okay. G, get help.
Yeah.
A,
assess the situation.
You should read before the emergency.
R, read up on it. A,
assess the situation.
B, what's B?
assess the situation.
Be kind to yourself. And then finally, A.
Abstinence.
Yeah. So garabba. G, get help. A, assess the situation. R, read up on it. A, assess the situation again. B, be kind to yourself. And finally, A.
Abstinence, the most important part.
Yeah, so we're putting together some T-shirts. Sonny D's on the designs. He's got the Pen and Pixels. We actually thought about hiring Pen and Pixel, the guys who designed all the No Limit album covers.
Not Pen and Teller.
Well, we thought about hiring Pen and Teller, too. But we could only get Teller on the phone, and it was real awkward.
Doesn't talk.
Yeah, the man doesn't talk. We just heard the sounds of doves flapping.
So ultimately, we got Chris Angel.
Yeah.
We think he did a fucking bang-up job.
He really did. You know, a lot of people complain about that guy, but he is a pro.
Yeah.
You know, he does his own eyeliner?
It's true.
And a lot of people don't know
A lot
that.
Of magicians, when they get all big time,
yeah.
when they start headlining the Luxor,
yeah.
they get a guy for that.
Sure.
Or a team of guys, even.
Yeah.
In the case of Jeff Dunham.
Sure.
Famous magician Jeff Dunham.
Well, he needs one guy for himself and one guy for his racist puppet.
Sure. Each racist puppet has its own racist eyeliner guy. But no, not Angel Man. He's buying the pens himself from CVS, applying it himself, going out there and entertaining America with dark magic.
Yeah, a lot of people would think that he would go to Sephora, but CVS all the way for him. He's always been
man
a drugstore man.
Man of the people.
Got it. Chris Angel, man of the people. So, yeah, you've been listening to Jordan Jesse Go, a tribute to Chris Angel.
His populist people. Dark magic.
We're on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com. We're on Twitter, #JJGo. Follow us there, @JesseThorne, @Jordan_Morris, what are you called on Twitter?
B-Heater.
Yeah. Brian is super funny for a guy that works at TechCrunch.
Yeah.
We're pretty funny.
We
make ourselves laugh. Mm-hmm.
Brian is definitely the funniest guy who works at TechCrunch, and he is a real solid follow overall. I have a great time laughing at Brian Heater's tweets.
I'd like to think with my tweets.
Yeah.
With.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that actually. Like, kicked out of the college improv group. Oh, so Joey Lutz could be in it.
Mm.
May he rest in peace. We'll remember him fondly. Yeah, that's fucking it.
That's it.
Jesus Christ, I don't need to say any more words.
Nope.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.